with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minute and a half past the hour. It is the 20th day of January, 2014. Welcome to More and Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeedy. Sorry about my absences last week, but most of you know why those were occasioned. This is going to be a kind of a weird week, and I'll be honest, candid. You know, it's not like sitting here lying to you the rest of the time. Language. I'll be candid. I don't feel good about going to D.C. This week. Simply put, we're expecting low temperatures of, zero in the next 2 or 3 days. And that's not good for a place like this. So, I don't know. It's a quandary. But as it stands, I'm scheduled to be in Washington, D.C. for the Families USA Health Action Radio Row Thursday and Friday. And then there are a couple of AIC campaign meetings that are planned that I need to attend. So it's going to be a little strange. As it stands, the present schedule is to leave here on Wednesday and probably be back Sunday. So that means no typical 6 p.m. Eastern time program on Wednesday. Instead, it will be a rerun of the 3 hours we did earlier in the day, which we will also do live. We meaning Ferguson. He assists on these remotes.
That's how it works out.
Note coming in earlier today from Robert in Australia. Hey, Bob. It's just coming up to 2300 hours on Monday, January 20th, as I write this, which means it's time for my regular 20th of the month Up Over Down Under Challenge. I'm putting $50 on the table. I'd like someone to match that, please. Then I'd like someone else to match that, and then a further someone else to match that. I'd like to fill in the hole, Robert says, and build a molehill, which we can turn into a hill, and then later, a mountain. This running day-to-day can't be good for your stress levels. I'll catch you in the morning. Signed, Robert. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Robert, and hopefully people will respond exactly as you describe, because we're now running behind. Part of that's my fault for being away, but thank you in advance for stepping up to that challenge, because simply put, with no advertisers here, with no one imploring you to buy gold now or any of the rest of those things, vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls, Swedish mattresses, etc., you are the only way that this continues. And by the way, I'll just say this. Welcome to anyone who is new to the program. If you hang out long enough, you will become almost inexorably a part of the Horn Family Commune, which is a happy family commune that often congregates in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Which is free, and up until recently, easy to use. Unfortunately, the fine folks at Java issued an update or something that the computer here decided it could not live without, and now I can't get into the chat room. Sparky, our chat room moderator, has patiently explained to me how to do this, but I haven't found the place to do it in inside Windows 8, which should be renamed Windows for Cesspits. So maybe at some point in time I'll get into the chat room. I miss you guys. Sorry I'm not there. So, yes, more in Monday. And, wow, it seems like it's been a week since we had more in Monday. And it seems like I've been entirely focused on a particular set of Morians. Being the Morans from Freedom Industries, the Morans from West Virginia American Water, the Morans from our the alleged leaders in state government, the Morans in the federal government. Hi, Joe! Almost to the exclusion of lots and lots and lots of other Morans. Because it's like they replicated or something. So we will be busy this evening. But you know what? There's another Moran. And I am he. And I believe in setting things straight and correcting myself when I screw up. And I made a mistake on Melissa Harris-Perry's program yesterday. In the midst of talking about the fact that, you know, 300,000 people have their water poisoned and we have a Moran Monday nominee to go with that in a moment. Besides me, I observed along the way that something on the order of 90% of the state of West Virginia is owned by outside interests. And I've run across that number somewhere. I cannot find it. But the land ownership records indicate that that number is significantly smaller, and so consequently, I take it all back. Well, at least the part about 90%. I don't take back the fact that 300,000 people are involuntarily participating in an unethical, immoral experiment on human on the toxicity of methylchlorohexane methanol on human systems. I don't take that part back. Not at all. And frankly, that remains the overarching issue, which remains sort of the great flashing beacon of what has been done to this state and this region for in excess of 100 years. Right? Yeah. But that was a mistake. It is different. The number is lower, but still quite shocking, and probably above average for most states on the East Coast, or east of the Mississippi. You've got a lot of government ownership of land west of the Mississippi, especially in the further western states. But here, it's mostly timber interests, coal mining interests, gas interests, the severance of the mineral rights from the surface rights, which goes back 100 years to the broad form deed, that kind of thing. So anyway, I nominate myself first for getting that wrong. I know I've heard it, I know I've read it, and I can't for the life of me find it. So we'll just have to take that as I was wrong. Now, as for other Morans, I said we've got another Moran for Moran Monday. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's do this right. There we go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. Do not waste another moment. Step right up, and you will find behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas an assemblage, a gathering, a clavern, a murder of Morans, the likes of which you've never seen or heard before. Yes, indeed. Morans of all stripe. Right-wing Morans, Teabag Morans, Bircher Morans, Birther Morans, deather morans, booger-eating morans, one and all, for your amazement. Yes, yes, yes. For less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you can witness the moranity that is the right wing in the United States of America. You can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for your hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. No kidding. Really. Let us start with the moran-in-chief here in almost toxic West Virginia. Jesus. Earl Ray Tomlin. You know, what with it being the Martin Luther King holiday today, I have frequently transposed Earl Ray Tomlin and James Earl Ray, which may not be entirely mistaken. It may be sort of maybe the universe recognizing that perhaps there's a similarity. Who knows? One killed one human being, while the other participates in the poisoning and killing of God knows how many human beings. Anyway, Governor James Earl Ray, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin of West Virginia, see how it works? I'm sorry. Has bid a fond farewell to responsibility, ethics, or anything resembling an actual desire to engage in governance. Yeah, this is a real dandy. Really. Oh, here we go. Governor Earl Ray had himself a press conference today. And at that press conference, he explained to people where he now stands with regard to the poisoning of the water supply of 300,000 living, breathing human beings. Remember previously that he declared that, maybe we didn't talk about this. Earl Ray declared that hospital visits were on the increase in the affected counties of the poisoned water because it's flu season. Well, that's why, and people ain't washing their hands, and that's why they're going to the hospital, because it's flu season among the non-hand washers. No, really. So now that we know that his buddies over at Freedom Industry are not, or his pals at West Virginia American Water are not responsible for 300,000 people's water being poisoned, he needs people to understand exactly where he stands and, by extension, where they themselves stand. Reading from Ken Ward Jr.'s story at the Charleston Gazette, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin said today that 300,000 state residents need to make their own decisions about using water from West Virginia American Water Company's Elk River plant in the wake of the January 9th spill of the chemical spill. What a lovely word. Spill. Oopsie. In the wake of the January 9th event in which thousands of gallons of a chemical that is used, typically 1 quart to 1,000 gallons of water, were dumped into the public water drinking supply. Intake. Whatever. Oh, nothing to see here. Move along. It's your decision, the governor told reporters during a press conference at the Capitol. If you do not feel comfortable drinking or cooking with this water, then use bottled water. Or maybe Brondo, the thirst mutilator. It has electrolytes. It's what plants crave. Tomlin emphasized that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control has said the water is safe as long as it contains less than one part per million of the coal cleaning chemical
which spilled into the Elk River from the Freedom Industries tank farm 1.5 miles upstream from the water intake, and about which West Virginia American Water was absolutely clueless. Really. It's like living on an island and not realizing there's water around you. That's kind of West Virginia American Water. Really. The governor said he did not know, I don't know, about a recommendation from the U.S. Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Register, or ATSDR. Who the hell are they? They give me any donations lately? Are they in the coal industry? You're not? Well, screw them! State officials, the governor said that he did not know about a recommendation from the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Register, or ATSDR, that state officials advise residents to flush their home plumbing systems until they no longer smell the chemical's licorice-like odor. You got that? Yes. A federal government agency. Back when West Virginia American Water and Governor James Earl Ray, Earl Ray Tomlin, back when they were, listen, y'all just open your windows here in the middle of January and flush your pipes out real good. Let the hot water run, let the cold water run. Now, if you're on a septic system, don't be running it down into your septic system, because it might just ruin that thing straight up. No, you just pump it out onto the ground, but don't be planning on planting any tomatoes or cucumbers or anything there for a while. All right? All right, good. Yeah, back when they were saying that, oh, well, you know, it's going to stank a little bit, but, you know, just because something stinks doesn't mean we're going to give up civilization. Okay. Back when all that crap was going on, the U.S. Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Register was saying, no, really, stop, please stop. When you flush your lines, you have to run them until you can't smell the stuff anymore at all. That's the only way to get down to a level where maybe you won't be poisoning yourself, and we do use the word maybe. To which Governor Earl Ray responded, what? Well, I'll be damned. Don't they realize West Virginia Americans got to get water moving again so that they can make money? Mm-hmm. So without physically lifting his middle finger to the entirety of the affected area in West Virginia and all the people who are worried about them, who have loved ones there, who have family there, who are there, without actually physically lifting his middle finger and showing it to all those people, Earl Ray Tomlin lifted his middle finger, metaphorically lifted his middle finger and showed it to, yeah, all of y'all, that right there. Hey, you gonna see it twice? So when they told Earl Ray, who don't know much about nothing, he's kind of like that T-shirt they sell down to the Rippy Mart down the hill here, and it just says on the front, it says, it's a black T-shirt with white letters, it says, coal, and on the back it says, about all I know is mining coal. And it comes in pink for the girls. Really? Well, that's about all Governor Earl Ray knows neither. Asa, you can believe he's that stupid. I think if you handed him a boot full of piss, he would stand there and be absolutely fascinated trying to figure out how to dump it out. And then you could look at him and say, Earl Ray, the instructions are on the heel. And honest to God, he wouldn't be able to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. Or maybe he just doesn't give a good old-fashioned damn. I'm not sure which. So they ask him, did y'all read that report from the ATSDR? Earl Ray's answer, I'm not aware that we did. I have not seen that. You know, we're going to look at all of this. It's a very complex issue. I'm not a scientist. I have to follow the best information. And you know who's got the best information? Coal industry. Coal industry always has the best information. Just ask them. They can tell you that they keep your lights on, and without coal, you're going to freeze to death in the dark. Yeah, you betcha. So that's what I do. I follow the best information. Brought to you by Clean Coal. You know, every time I say that, they pay me money. I like money. Okay, yeah, we have our fun. But all over the topage aside, this is real. He really did say, maybe we'll understand it a little better if I don't use the fun Earl Ray voice. It's your decision. If you do not feel comfortable drinking or cooking with this water, then use bottled water. Ever tried to shower with bottled water? I mean, I've known people out there who were so skinny they had to run around in the shower to get wet. But even a big old feller like me kind of got to run around to get wet if you're trying to shower with a bottle of water. And it can be right cold, too. And in plastic jugs just don't handle being heated on the stove very well. You're on your own. Let them drink bottled water. Governor Tomlin, does the year 1789 mean anything to you? I didn't think so. Does the name Robespierre mean anything? Robes who? Jean-Paul Marat? Mm-mm. No, I didn't think so. Jesus. So who knows? Look, you know, if you don't like the water, don't drink it. If you don't like it, and really, this is par for the course. This is the same guy who years ago, as I've told you, said, well, every day somebody says something else makes you sick. When he was presented data about increased cancer rates or heart disease rates in the Coal River Valley. This is a guy who blamed flu season for people showing up with chemical burns at hospitals. If you don't like the water, you don't have to drink it. And if you don't like the air, you don't have to breathe that. Now, if you don't like it here, you don't have to. You can just get on out. Outside agitators. Consarnested. But this is real. There's all kinds of stuff that's real. Like the fact that tanker trucks that were delivering water were filling their tanks from the poisoned water system. Really? How about that, Chris Christie? Yeah, see, it's just kind of flat for me. It doesn't work. And, by the way, Senator Joe Manchin has said that even though he hates the EPA, he can work with them to come up with rules about above ground storage tanks. And there's quoting going on here. Eric Iyer has the story over at the Gazette, talking about his legislation for chemical tanks. He said, "This is preventative legislation. The only thing I continue to be at odds with the EPA is if you don't have proven technology, if you don't have a limit or any types of things that we can meet or that you can show has been done commercially, then why are you asking for pie in the sky?" Anybody? My translator's broken. I can't translate the language of the people of Norblop 9. Because I think that's what that's in. But Joe's been at it. There was a quote from the New York Times where Joe said something about, we've had lots of accidents, but West Virginia is not afraid to do the heavy lifting. We are not afraid to do the heavy lifting. Yeah, careful with that "we" there, Joe. And then he said something about, and this really, really got me thinking. Stuff that I was talking with Dr. Bill about in the first hour of his program between 3 and 4 p.m. We make a lot of assumptions about where we stand relative to the success of the human species for as long as the human species has been around. I mean, we've been using electricity for about 100 years out of the at least 40,000 that humanity has been getting on pretty successfully. And he made some crack about, listen, accidents happen. We're not going to quit living just because of an accident. That's easy for somebody to say who has a reliable source of water and isn't watching their baby's legs turn burned red just from trying to give baby a bath. And actually, Joe, people can quit living because of an accident, because of negligence, because of an entire culture. An entire governmental superstructure that has been created of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations. Yeah, we mark that quit living moment with these things called funerals, Joe. Why do people have to be such insensitive asses? Thank you, Ed. Ed writing in, noting, WWRD, what would Robespierre do? That's my personal motto. Thanks, Ed. So you see where my head is this morning, Monday. By the way, thanks to Sal and Frank and Jan for getting us started. Robert's challenge, the Down Under Up Over challenge, has been met with that first 50 that he mentioned, and now he's hoping somebody else will jump in and catch up with another, and that way we'll be filling in a little bit of the working on that molehill. And for the most part, there won't be any further talk about fundraising after Tuesday, because
generally too too crazy. Oh, and by the way, Jan and Jerry, I'm sorry. Generally, I'm just a little too harried, crazy, whatever, in the midst of these Radio Row things to think about that. But yes, more ends. And and lots of them. Where to begin? Well, I am doing a rather poor job, I'm afraid, at noting this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And I apologize for that. But in a way, I get sort of disturbed every time this holiday rolls around. Not because we celebrate it. It should be celebrated. But because of the magnificent job that is being done in the wider culture to, as I have asserted in the past, turn Dr. King into a sort of Santa Claus character. He was a good man, and he loved everybody, and he liked kittens, and he loved children, and he wanted us to all just get along. And he said he cared about the content of a man's character, and he talked about the arc of justice and the universe, and isn't that sweet? When in fact, he was a radical. He was a man set out to change the entire shape and nature of life in these United States by advancing the cause of people who were being denied full participation in what we roughly refer to as the American experience. And see, here in, you know, 500 to 1,000 years, parents, and every January 19th, well, he comes around and he gives presents to good little girls and boys. It's a cynical observation, I understand, but it's where we're going. You seldom see references in the for-profit media to the sort of fire and brimstone stuff that he was delivering at the Riverside Church a year before he was killed. When he started talking about justice in terms of not being in Vietnam, slaughtering people for reasons that were not entirely clear. Or maybe just generally the idea of not sending poor kids to slaughter folks in Vietnam or some other country, that maybe on principle it wasn't a good idea. And the other part about the Dr. King holiday that's a little bit frustrating is the fact that you may rest assured that this holiday will bring out the honest to God worst in the right wing. Because they hate this holiday in the first place. And that's why they've done as much as they can to Santa Claus, Dr. King. Because that white privilege is also often accompanied by unstated, unacknowledged white terror. And Dr. King and Dr. King's words and Dr. King's teachings are still terrifying things for the holders of white privilege and power and so forth in this society. Enter, and of course this is in South Carolina, Stan. Enter Richard Cash. No, really, what's his name? Dick Cash. Who is challenging Senator Lindsey Graham Cracker for in the primary for his Senate seat. So down to Myrtle Beach, they had themselves a teabagging convention at which Dick Cash spoke. Having already warned you that the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday brings out the absolute drop-dead worst in the right wing, you probably have a pretty good idea of where this is going, at least I hope.
Today I'd like to say this. Today is Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King did a lot to help us as we struggle with racial equality and justice, friendship and kindness between the races, and we celebrate that achievement.
You got that? Do you hear the Santa Clausing going on? And friendship and kindness between the races. See, if good little girls and boys, Dr. King will come along and give you a voter registration photo ID cards to the good ones. Love and friendship. You know, we're not going to stay there for very long. Trust me, this is A, South Carolina, and B, a teabagger. So get the duct tape and the tennis ball.
What I want to say to you today is I, too, have a dream. When we consider the 55 million unborn children that...
Yes. Yep, Dick Cash has a dream. And apparently he dreams of fetuses in full color. He has a dream. All right, now that the screaming's over, let's go back and just get the full quality of that dream.
Friendship and kindness between the races, and we celebrate that achievement. But what I want to say to you today is I, too, have a dream. When we consider the 55 million unborn children that have been killed in this land since 1973, I too have a dream. When we consider that one-third of the generation since 1973 is not with us because of abortion, I have a dream. And what is it? I have a dream that one day, each and every unborn baby, created in the image of God, will enjoy the same constitutional protections that you and I receive. That's our promise. That's what the Republican Party stands for.
Clap, you asshats. Clap. That's his dream. He doesn't have a dream that someday everybody who's hungry in the United States can have a full belly. He doesn't have a dream that someday everyone in the United States who needs a job can have a job. No, absolutely not. He doesn't have a dream that someday people won't have their water poisoned for profit. Nope, he's not having that dream either. A lot of dreams Dick Cash isn't having. He doesn't have a dream that someday every child who is already born will have a reasonable shot at the so-called American dream without regard to whether the child was born in poverty or opulence, without regard to whether the child was born black, white, or any other variation of skin tone.
No, he's not dreaming any of that. He's dreaming about fetuses and uteruses and fallopian tubes and ovaries and things that he doesn't have but feels a desperate need to control. Dick Cash does have those dreams. Like I said, it brings... It just brings into full flower. Something happens on the asshole gene in teabagger DNA on this day every year that just makes them just crazy and mean. This is the mean kind of crazy. Every unborn baby, he says, that's his dream. He wants every unborn baby to have full constitutional rights. And yet try to explain to him that something around, is this right? The folks who are more well versed on this than I, but a huge percentage of pregnancies simply end in spontaneous abortion. A woman's period may be 2 days late, a week late, and then there you are. Just as an oak tree must drop many, 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 many acorns in order to get one oak tree to grow, so too this human species that has been wandering around on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe for about, oh, the last at least 40,000 years, maybe close to 100,000. I can't remember my Larnin on that. But so too, there must be many attempts to reproduce in order to have a successful one. But he wants two recently divided cells to have co-equal rights with a fully functioning human being. Never mind the fact that there is no way to ascertain the will of those cells. You can even make the somewhat cynical argument that depending on which woman those dividing cells are inhabiting, that if you had some way of communicating with those cells and showed them perhaps the poison water, the dust-filled air of Appalachia, or maybe an exploding Bakken crude train in North Dakota or Quebec or New Brunswick or Alabama, or simply showed them what hunger looks like, that those subdividing cells would look back at you and go, F it! I'm not, no, stop it! Get me out of here! I'll try in some other universe, some other time, I don't know, maybe I can be a grub worm. But a human? Pass! Or so it seems to me. Thanks, by the way, to Raw Story for posting the audio of Dick Cash. And his dream. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They do get ever so more Annie on this holiday every year. Maybe that's why the holiday is on Monday, so we can point out all the morons. Over on Radio TV Rwanda, they've got one of those blonde on the camera people named Martha McCallum. Now I can't tell her from, well, you know, all those Fox blondes look the same to me, so.
But Martha McCallum apparently was trying to separate herself from the pack. Today. And she did, she did so in rare style. Because this being the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, it was, of course, necessary to fulminate and pontificate about cannabis and Colorado and Washington State, whose two NFL teams have now given an entirely new definition to the idea of a Super Bowl. Sheesh. No, she's worried about the marijuana. And she's worried about who the marijuana is really harming. Here's the quote. Not going to fool with any audio. Here's the quote.
Maybe there should be a campaign to discourage pot use among minorities, to say that there's a better way to make it in your future, and to take care, better care of your body.
Yeah. Because, you see, cannabis is why she says that there is a disproportionate incarceration rate between white folks and folks of different skin tone.
Do you see, if your brain is really tiny and kind of soupy with a really, really great daggum big amygdala, do you see how reassuring it must be just to tune into Fox Radio TV Rwanda every day and have it all explained to you? Because, see, if disparate incarceration rates among people of color and people of paleness is simply a matter of more people of color smoking on the marijuana weed than pale people do, by the way, I don't think we could prove that to be true in a freaking minute. I'm guessing there's a lot of pale people out there honking on a number. But if we can just point, if we can just blame it on that, then by golly, problem solved. And we don't ever have to trouble our soupy, thin, gray settlings that pass for brains sloshing about between our ears and around that big old lizard brain. We don't have to trouble that system with things like questions of economic inequity or economic non-opportunity. We don't know. We don't have to fool with any of that. Because it's the weed.
Now, this particular radio TV Rwanda hostess, host, whatever, wasn't just operating in a vacuum, and she wasn't just operating by herself. She had some help from a character named Michael Graham, who is identified as a conservative radio host, who declared today, "Obama is screaming at me, put down the ice cream, stop eating those cookies. But he's also telling me, dude, pick up a bong, what's the big deal?" Of course, the problem is, the more pot you smoke, the more you want the cookies and the ice cream. Oh, I am a witty one. Never mind the fact
that President Not Sure has never, ever, 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 ever suggested that we should have national decriminalization or perhaps outright legalization of cannabis. Because he hasn't. I, for one, think we need to end the cannabis prohibition just out of an abundance of what we would like to think we have in the way of common freaking sense. Tax it. Regulate it. Make it harder for children to get. Because the current system is not working. Not even a little bit. It, by the way, according to the American Civil Liberties Union, pale people between the ages of 18 and 25 tend to smoke or otherwise ingest cannabis at rates that are way, 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 way higher than their darker-skinned counterparts in the same age group. But it's all because the dope. Why don't we just run a Chiron or something across the screen over at Fox Radio Rwanda TV that says this is your brain on dope? Because it is. Problem solved. And on the Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday, no less. You can't beat these folks. They've gone pro. Thanks, Ed. Ed jumped out there and went halfway toward the next matching $50 arising out of Robert's up over down under 20th of the month challenge. Thank you, Ed. Fritz writes from Arkansas. The local NBC affiliate station mentioned in their social media about a school district in Arkansas, Bismarck, that did not close school today. The usual collection of right-wingers, including some public school teachers, jumped in with both feet and vitriol. I'm almost afraid to look, Fritz. Yeah. Here's one. You don't have to dismiss school to have respect for someone, something. MLK Jr. and what he did for African Americans should never be forgotten. But, you know, there's always going to be a but after something like that. There are many other American icons that don't get the same respect. And then there's another individual. If they're out for MLK Day to celebrate, they should be out for Veterans Day. The veterans gave more. Really? Here's another woman. No, they should not be out of school. If they are not out for President's Day and Veterans Day, they should not be out for MLK. They should be out for the veterans
for they are the reason you are free to celebrate and march and have parades is because of the veterans. This goes on, and it makes me want eye bleach. Although some people did catch on. Here's an individual who says, way to bring all the racists out of the woodwork, K-A-R-K. Yeah. But this one, as far as I can tell, is the real, I mean, this is the gem. This is the precious one. This is the hope diamond of right-wing stupidity, at least on this thread. King didn't do anything that thousands of white people have done and lost their lives for protecting their country. God forbid if we had a national holiday for the sacrifice of a white person. Kids need to stay in school as much as possible, and then maybe they can better themselves without relying on everyone else to do it for them. Now, I mentioned that Arkansas and places like Arkansas and West Virginia, where racism runs rampant, are among the most reliant, desperately reliant on our fellow Americans via our structure of taxation and the using the largesse of that taxation to make sure people don't starve to death. Yeah. Veterans Day is not a racially motivated anything. Why should one black person get a special day because the color of his skin when there are hundreds of people of all races who have contributed to the country's history? And also women. Really, it reads that way. To the country's history, comma, and also women, exclamation point. That in itself is racist. See, it's racist. In reverse. You see how it works? Great googly moogly. I told you, it brings out... It brings out the absolute drop-dead worst in these people. Texas Betsy pointing out, most schools are out for Veterans Day and President's Day. I sometimes despair. And thanks to David, David responded to Robert's Down Under Up Over Challenge, and we have started on the next $50 round to get us up out of the hole. Thank you very much. So you begin to see just exactly, in moments like this, you find out more about where this country stands. And it's not standing in a very nice place. Bless his heart, President Not Sure sat down with an author from The New Yorker by the name of David Remnick for a profile of him being, you know, the president. And bless his heart, he just stepped right in it. Because he said the unsayable. He said, there's no doubt that there's some folks who just really dislike me because they don't like the idea of a black president. Now, the flip side of it is, there are some black folks, and maybe some white folks, who really like me and give me the benefit of the doubt precisely because I'm a black president. Well, that pretty much captures the whole universe of possibility, doesn't it?
center wing nut, stage right. Tom Bloomer. No, really? Over to Newsbusters. Headline, Obama plays race card on falling poll numbers while New Yorker's Remnick tries to rewrite history. Much will be written and should be about President Barack Obama's whining that racism partially explains the year-long plunge in his popularity since his re-election in 2012. The only thing is, he didn't say that. He just didn't. At all. Marginally, even. And besides, plenty of white people have done good things for this country, too. Mother. I mean, honestly. But there's more ands. Oh, yes. And, of course, you're welcome to jump in with your nominations. You know how that all works. .304-658-3333 is the studio number. You can also participate by shooting me an email, bobkincaid@gmail.com. And you can reach out via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. If we've never hooked up as contacts before, just send me a request and I'll clear it and we'll get it. We'll get going. We'll take a break. Sorry, I'm sitting here producing at the same time. Sometimes I get caught up producing instead of talking. I'm just trying to find something in the way of bumper. And we'll go with this. This is the Horn. Listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Some of them want to abuse you. Some of
Yeah, the Eurythmics won out on the bumper there. I also contemplated Little Feet, All That You Dream. Yeah. There was a possibility of an old Cheap Trick song. Yeah. And by the way, Sparky is helping me wend my way through fixing the chat room issue, so maybe I'll get to hang out with you guys yet. Note from Tim in L.A. Bob, isn't Jeebus white? We all celebrate his birthday on Christmas on December 25th, and 1 week, if you're a student, when he rises up like a zombie. So then there's President's Day, white, Columbus Day, white, 4th of July, white, and so on. We celebrate a civil rights warrior, and it's racism? I know. Makes your head feel like it's just going to go sometimes. But yeah, Tim's point is well taken. Of course, now that one in our White House has ruined our President's Day, because it used to be a celebration of the great white men who have led this country. But now he's in there, and it's just runt. It's runt, tell you, runt. Yeah. So, more though. Oh no, we're so not done. We are incredibly not done. Wanted to mention a little outfit to you, and we've talked about them from time to time in the past. This is a real chase them with a butterfly net bunch, and they kind of just dropped right into Moran Monday today by way of a hustle for a guest. You know, I get about 100 right wing guest hustles a day. Every third or fourth day, I might get a guest pitch from somebody on the sane or saner side of the aisle. But this came from an individual who wanted me to have someone from the Parents Television Council here to take up your time, waste your time, and breathlessly inveigh against the godless, heathen, whatever culture that we live in, because, and I'm not kidding, the Parents Television Council is calling on its members to file indecency complaints over an episode of, irony alert, Fox Broadcasting's Dads. This particular episode, and this is what has them so upset, mind you. This particular episode, and I have never seen this program. It may be fairly said that I don't watch much television. But this particular episode of Dads, apparently, and I'm quoting from the press pitch here, featured an implied depiction of and references to Semen. And we're not talking about people on boats either. Yes. And references to masturbation. Comes the question. I probably shouldn't have put it that way. Would you like to talk with the PTC about this and the latest over the broadcast indecency battle? No, not really, because I couldn't stop laughing. We'd have to play the circus music, and it'd just get completely out of control.
We are living in a time when indecency stalks the land. When a family sitting down to enjoy, innocently enjoy, a television viewing night together cannot even turn on a saintly network like Fox without hearing about semen. I just want to pour Drano in my ears every time I hear that word. Semen. Now, did you notice? Did you pick up on the way this pitch was written? An episode of Fox Broadcasting's Dads, which featured an implied depiction of and reference to semen. Now, maybe this was one of those things I missed along the way when I was learning the art of word knowing. But if it is implied, it's not a depiction, is it? I mean, isn't that like the difference between rebroadcasting, retransmitting a Major League Baseball game with the implied permission of the Commissioner of Major League Baseball as compared to the express permission of the Commissioner of Major League Baseball? Here's what's got them so pissed off. But by the way, they went the extra mile for Fox Broadcasting's Dads by giving out the time when it was aired and when it usually airs and the Central Time Zone air time. And yeah, my God, it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And children as young as 14 years old are supposed to be able to watch then. Granny, maybe it's been a while since you were young, but children as young as the age of 14 have probably figured out the whole masturbation thing without having to have it taught to them by an implied depiction on Fox. Implied depiction. I love it. The following are the sexual scenes that were featured in this episode. My God, there's hair on my palms. Veronica, you don't have a caring bone in your body. Eli, yes, I do. My bone cared for her twice last night, and a bendy third time. Warner uses a UV light to disinfect Veronica's desk. Warner, these things are amazing. It even lights up semen. Warner's dad enters, waving hi to everyone. The UV light picks up traces of semen, presumably on his hand. Camilla tries to watch television with David and Crawford nearby. Camilla, what about that show, Girls? David, hey, I'm trying to get erections, not lose them. Well, there it is. Fall of Western Civilization. I love that part about the UV light picks up traces of semen, presumably, on his hand. See, they had to presume the semen in the implied depiction. Can we get the Parents Television Council a little volunteer time at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter or anything that will put some sort of perspective on their otherwise tired, weird, sexually frustrated, bizarre little lives.
The Parents Television Council is a nonpartisan education organization advocating responsible entertainment.
Well, babies, if you're advocating for that on TV, I think that horse left the barn a long time ago. It's probably withered down to bones out in the desert somewhere by now. Responsible entertainment. All right, guys, settle down. Okay, this is really funny, but is it responsible? I mean, we're implying masturbation here, and we've even got implied semen. Can we truly say that we're entertaining responsibly? We urge the FCC to investigate this dad's episode on behalf of families across the nation. Not on behalf of mine, you don't. Oh, no. Don't be out there running around saying you speak for me. Mm-mm, no. Because, see, you'll never find a complaint from the Parents Television Council about guns or gun violence or bombs exploding or... No.
Jesus, he said semen.
Dr. John asking, what was implied about that? More word knowing. I think that was pretty overt. I bet it was also accompanied by a laugh track. Lots of them. Lots and lots and lots of them. 20 minutes past the hour, and lines are open if you want to jump in. 304-658-3333. Or, since I was away from the mic twice last week, shucks, I'll just fill a bobster. Either way, it's fine by me. Okay, so we're on the internet. And for at least the time being, until they get done killing once and for all net neutrality and... sort of level playing field out here in the tubes. I'm not beholden to the FCC or the Parents Television Council. And so, you know, semen. Oh, it's in the 7:21 Eastern hour. That probably means this should otherwise, according to the Parents Council, this should be radio fit for the listening of toddlers. Semen. Can you imagine if the word vagina had been used? That drives them really wild. The lady parts make these right-wing culture warriors go absolutely stark raving, crazy, mad, nuts, loony. Penis. So what I think I'll do for the remainder of the program is I'll just masturbate a word into a sentence, not knowing whether or not it's appropriate for use at the time. Uterus. You can do it too. Testicle. If only they were listening, they'd be having poop hemorrhages right now. Yeah. Smegma. Oh, and Dr. John points out, by the way, there was a lame shot at girls, too. Of all the criticisms of that show, the attractiveness of the women is about the weakest and least sophisticated possible. Thank you.
Jack in Shreveport is now participating. One word email. Booger. Booger, booger, booger. Mm-hmm. Phlegm. Mucous membrane. Mm-hmm. Cervix. Vas deferens. We gotta lighten up once in a while. I mean, really. This is...
What are we gonna fulminate over today, Ethel? Semen. You said it!
Oh, now we'll have to go and get really, really clean because you're very dirty.
Kind of just begs for this little moment.
There are Jews in the world. There are Buddhists. There are Hindus and Mormons and them. There are those that follow Mohammed's books. I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Do something creative and stand outside the Parents Television Council offices or mailbox or whatever it is. And, oh, I don't know, just play that on a 500-watt boombox. It's pathetic. Just pitiful. But you know what? We got lots of pitiful. Because it is. It's more on Monday. And we could save this for prayer meeting Wednesday. But unless I change my mind, and I wish I could, unless I change my mind, I'll be on the road Wednesday and thus unable to have prayer meeting Wednesday. So instead of having righteous Louis Gohmert on prayer meeting Wednesday, we'll just make him a moron. Now, we're not really making him a moron. He is one all by himself, right? Louis also attended, you know that teabagging convention in South Carolina, Stan, where Dick Cash declared that he has a dream for all the little fetuses. Even the ones that are spontaneously aborted? Because we've lost a third of our population, only we haven't, since 1973. Yeah, Louis was there. Yes, indeed. And you know who's... Well, Louis... Louis was there to talk about the special relationship. No, not the one with England. No.
Look, I mean, a country can only go on so long living with mercy. Eventually comes the judgment. And I also told him, and some people think this is crazy and meddling, but
it is, because, you know, I'm Louis Gohmert, and I'm a little crazy. That sooner or later, you can only live so long on mercy, and then comes the judgment. God, don't you just adore the dualistic thinking of these freaks? Was that what that was? Was that judgment? I haven't heard. Did the water supply of 300,000 human beings get poisoned because of God's judgment? Who pissed him off this time? Was it really the homosexuals? The homosexuals in West Virginia? Is that are you responsible? Stand in the corner. Oh wait, secular liberals, get over there with her. It was all of you, wasn't it? Yeah. You pro-choice people, you get over there too. God don't like none of y'all. Not even a little bit. So anyway, who is this he's talking about?
Apparently from the reaction, some of y'all actually know who I am, but...
Some of us wish we didn't.
I told the Prime Minister, I said, you know, I mentioned this to you in 2009. We've met a couple of times since then. But anyway, I said, I mentioned this to you in 2009, and I want to reiterate it. I think, I'm not a prophet. I know the Old Testament. I know history. I think you've got...
No, he didn't say that. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I'm not a prophet. And I know history. No, you don't on both counts. No, you don't. Not even a little bit. Remember his understanding of I know history is and I know the Old Testament is to be quite certain. That Adam and Eve rode a dinosaur to church on Sunday, only it was Saturday. Whoop! But anyway, now that he's explained to someone else that he is neither
prophet nor but does know history. Doesn't have his prophesying clothes on. No. Well, go on. Go on with it, Louie. Just open your mouth and let all the bats fly out.
Had a chance to be one of Israel's great leaders. And Michelle said, he is one of Israel's great leaders. I said, I'm talking about all time, the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones. You know, Ashablagagabs. The big ones. I mean, all time. Your all-time great Israel leaders. Netanyahu has a chance to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, this is only going to get worse, isn't it? Texas Betsy pointing out, least humble thing on earth to say, I'm not a prophet? Because, you know, they're all sitting there in their teabagging convention thinking, by golly, bless my tri-cornered hat, but I think that there Louie Gohmert up there is a prophet. No, I'm not a prophet. I just know some Old Testament and I know me some history. And the history he's talking about is going to be the largely unverifiable history of some legendary leaders of the kingdoms of either Israel and or Judah. Oh, here we go. I mean the big ones. I mean your all-time great leaders. I mean, I'm not talking about David Ben-Gurion. I mean, yeah, he was good and everything, but I mean, he wasn't up there with your all-time great leaders, you know? I mean, we know who the greatest leader of all time was. That was Jesus. But Benjamin Netanyahu can't be that good because he's going to hell because he don't believe in Jesus. But he's still our friend. Okay?
But going back to David, to Solomon, up through Josiah, much his reign, Hezekiah until the end, on up through Ben-Gurion, all of the greatest
leaders. Oh, he was one. Okay, I was mistaken there. You know, because it's just an unbroken line there. I mean, you got your David, you got your Solomon, you got your Hezekiah, you got your Ashkenaz, the Blab, and then Ben-Gurion. Wasn't great jumping Jehoshaphat one of them all-time great ones? Who knows? Do please continue.
Leaders of Israel had one thing in common. They called upon the nation of Israel to honor the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that has not happened in many decades. And he said, I don't know if you were aware, but since you last said that, I'm having a Bible study in my home weekly. And I said, I'd read and heard that, and I was thrilled. And he said, in my favorite hour of the week, he has a son that's been...
Wait a minute. I think the acid just kicked in. Did Louis just say that the Prime Minister of Israel is having a Bible study in his house every week? Now, maybe this is just semantics. But, A, Biblos is merely the Greek word for book. But even if you get beyond that, isn't the general understanding of the word Bible the collected and canonized and accepted set of books that were established by the early Christian church? And you know, feel free to enlighten me, because I don't. If you're Jewish and you go to synagogue and you sit down, are there pews? I don't know. Is there Holy Bible? Is that sitting there? Benjamin Netanyahu, according to Louis Gohmert, who thinks that those useless eaters of the food stamp program are eating up all of his constituents, Alaskan king crab legs, and takes umbrage when people cast aspersions upon his asparagus, yes, says that the Prime Minister of Israel is leading Bible study. And the larger question then, I mean, because when we say Bible, don't we mean both New and Old Testaments? Because, see, I just can't see Bibi Netanyahu sitting around and reading the book of Luke or the Acts of the Apostles. And frankly, I think Revelations would probably just plumb straight up creep him out. Because that's the part that's got the part about where Jesus is going to come back and he's going to be pissed. And there's going to be some serious killing of Jews going on if they don't confess that he is the real deal. Which is something Louis Gohmert probably prays for every day. Oh, Lord, I just want to be there. It's going to be so great to be. Oh, Lord, just to be in your grace when we get to start gigging them like frogs, Lord. I mean, Jesus, you'll be there and I'll be there and you'll say, that one didn't confess me, Lord. Run him through, Louis, and God, Jesus, I will. I'll run him through for you. Amen. So, you'll understand if I just, I can't see Bibi Netanyahu doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Devin, if I pot him up any more, and by that we mean increase the gain, not give Louis the doobie he probably desperately needs. And then he'll want the ice cream and the cake and the cookies Oh, but wait, he's white, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Okay, the Jewish Bible, says Texas Betsy, is the Tanakh, what Christians call the Old Testament, 54 books. Right. And the Jewish faith has auxiliaries and stuff that wasn't necessarily included in Christian versions. I think the Roman Catholics have the Book of Maccabees in theirs, but your King Jamesers, it ain't there. It never happened. It doesn't exist. I'm now being informed, yes, some synagogues have pews, most have chairs or rows. So anyway, Bible study is taking place in Bibi Netanyahu's house.
Jacob, and that has not happened in many decades. And he said, I don't know if you were aware, but since you last said that, I'm having a Bible study in my home weekly. And I said I'd read and heard that, and I was thrilled. And he said, in my favorite hour of the week, he has a son that's been rabbinically educated, and he said, my favorite hour of the week is when my son comes, we read Scripture and discuss it together.
No, I'm not going to say a word about the way he phrased that sentence. Not a damn word, but I am turning him into the Parents Television Council.
And I said, I'd heard that, and I'm just so thrilled. But I said, unfortunately, we're pushing you into a corner, and you're going to have a couple of crises this year. And I know you've got secularists, and I called off a couple, but you have to deal with here and tell them this is not for you. It's only for people who believe, but I'm declaring a national day of prayer and fasting in this crisis.
Now, wait, just a confounded cotton-picking minute. Did Louis Gohmert just call for Israel to be just once and for all established as a theocracy? I mean, even among people who have extreme policy differences with the way Israel behaves among its neighbors, there's often a counterbalancing argument that at least they are trying to have something resembling open society. And democratic government. Now, that's going, you know, under people like Netanyahu, that's going away. But that's been a counterbalancing argument. And Louis here, talking to these people, these teabagging idiots, is saying he wants Israel to have a straight-up theocracy. You know, just like Iran. Oops, I probably shouldn't have compared it that way, should I? No, I didn't think so. And beyond that, never having been there, isn't every day in Israel being Israel? Isn't every day a day of prayer? I mean, isn't the last remaining vestige of the Temple of Herod a great big retaining wall at which people of various degrees of devotion go to make their prayers known to their invisible friend? I mean, I've seen the pictures, I've seen the videos, you know, the guy's standing there with the headgear and he's just kind of bowing his head back and forth. It's always been my understanding that that was prayer. And it's not just one guy. It's lots of guys. I don't know if women get to go to the wall or not, but they pray without ceasing. They pray in the morning. They pray in the evening. They pray. How much more praying does Louis want? Or are we just not spelling it right? And he wants Israel to fall on their knees and pray to God and then, oh, I don't know, fall on the Iranians and pray on them. And what's this talk about, I'm not a prophet, and then because he's not a prophet, you're going to have a couple of crises. Now, I'm not telling you what they are or when they're going to be, but I'm telling you, you're going to have a couple of crises, and you're just going to have to look up and say, you know what we're going to do about this? We're going to pray. Dang.
For God's direction and protection, and for all of those who believe. And I said, I promise you, God will answer that prayer. The secularists will hear. The world will see. And even people in the United States will see. And Israel will be blessed because of your doing that. So,
what, Edith?
Action. And for all of those who believe, and I said, I promise you, God will answer that prayer. The secularists will hear.
Now, who in the world is Louis Gohmert to be telling a guy whose people invented the God that Louis worships what that God will or will not hear? I mean, for a guy who says, I'm not a prophet, He sure seems to be taking a casual little wander over into that neighborhood, doesn't he? What are they going to pray for? Oh, they're going to pray for victory over Iran, and they're going to pray for little itsy bitsy Iranian children to be bombed into their constituent parts in the middle of the night. What did I say earlier about if you could talk to the... And they say, oh, no, I'm not. Yeah. Wowzer. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Texas Betsy. No, 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 no. That's five. No, 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 no. We don't do allegories. We learn Talmud or Torah or read the Midrash. No allegories. Okie dokie. Tim from L.A. with an email. Speaking about the Bible, after chatting with our Jewish expert, Betsy, there was no fall of Lucifer in the Old Testament, nor were there any unicorns. It's one thing to rewrite the Hebrew text to English. It's another thing to omit, add, or make shit up and say that everyone is going to hell except for morons like Louis Gohmert. This is why I'm an atheist and in a Unitarian Universalist church. We don't preach that bullshit. Oh, by the way, I am informed there will also be no dinosaur riding on Shabbat. I get that. Okay. Regarding the wall, I'm told, yes, there is a women's section at the wall, also a mixed section, but not touching the wall. Observant Jews pray three times a day. So I think my thesis is therefore confirmed that calling for a national day of prayer in Israel would be a little bit of serious where prayer is concerned lily gilding. I mean, it would be redundant. It would be superfluous. Yeesh. And this from Dr. John, going back to the Parents Television Council. Great cultural semen story. Wait a minute. Semen story. Hope nobody tells those Parents Television Council folks about the Bari of Venezuela. They believe fetuses can only grow via repeated washings of semen in utero. This is recognized to be hard work for fathers. There's a saying, pregnancy makes women fat but men skinny. So pregnant women take multiple lovers while they're gestating. This is welcomed by the fathers, as the lovers are expected to give gifts of food to the mom-to-be and presents to the child after it's born. Everybody stays friends, and everybody benefits. That's some family values, I say. By Jove, you know what? I bet they've been successfully being the Bari people of Venezuela for rather a considerably long time, haven't they? Haven't they, John? Yeah. But where Loopy Louie is concerned, one thing. He thinks Bibi Netanyahu can be the next King David or King Solomon. Meanwhile, Louie Gohmert is a proud proponent of traditional Judeo-Christian family values, marriage between one man and one woman. David, and we went over this one time. I have since forgotten the number, but David had how many wives? And how many concubines? And Solomon? I mean, we're talking triple digits here, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I guess you could say it would be, it's the wrong language, but a harem. So Bibi had better get busy. And then again, if he's going to be a really great one, he's just going to need to be a king. That prime minister and getting elected by people is going to have to go. And you're going to need the headgear and the robes and the incense and that anointing oil that's made out of weed. And you got to get busy. A lot of work to be done here.
by the way, going back to all the Jason, F that stupid effer and F Fox News. And by the way, Jason notes, if praying worked, we would not need hospitals or doctors. Well, there's that. So that's Louis. And that's also pretty much the end of this hour. If you want to jump into the conversation, feel free. It's far easier to do this if you get out front on it as opposed to waiting until 15 till 9 and then, you know, six lines light up. It's a little frustrating. So 304-658-3333 is the number if you want to reach out and join in the conversation, and I encourage you so to do. On the other hand, if you want to use Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn is the contact account. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. So break time. You know about that whole business about riding the dinosaur to church? Right. This works with that.
No one thought it.
By the way, just so we still have Robert's Up Over Down Under January 20th challenge underway. Anyone wishing to participate is welcome to do so. This is the horn.
They fought, they strained their lives in vain. They thought, always asking why. Not blessed, but shunned. The world was done. But facts, no one could deny. You might think you know, only just suppose what you're told isn't true. Facts you can't deny, science doesn't lie, there is actual proof. That organism did evolve, that giant mystery been solved. Creation is true and false, get familiar with our phylogeny. Yeah, our phylogeny. Then they procreate, and some genes we take, varied forms are derived. Yes, organism to evolve. The experts have a part to solve. The concept from the dead is lost. The earth came to me. Yes, organism to evolve. You know, only just suppose what you're told isn't true. Cause I'll get enough to you if I
That was great. Emily Hamill Brisson was the vocalist on that. That's a parody of course, Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. And it was produced by Karen Bondar. Dr. John informs me she's a sort of celebrity, although highly credentialed biologist. Organisms Do Evolve. You can find it over on YouTube. You know, because organisms do evolve. Oh, that's brilliant. And the video is magnificent. And oh, dear. So it is. It's Moran Monday on the horn. And I like to point out when our side wins one. This comes from down in Jack's neck of the woods around Shreveport. Well, it is Shreveport. Shreveport, Louisiana stand. The Advocate reports that, back in December, the City Council of Shreveport passed a resolution. And it was a good resolution. It passed by 6-1 that would forbid discrimination against people who, for reasons based upon either sexual orientation or gender identity. That means trans people cannot be discriminated against by government in Shreveport, Louisiana, nor can people be discriminated against for being gay or straight or bi or asexual or anything. You just can't. Both of these are positive steps forward in what we like to think of as civilization, although even that is sort of freighted with a bit of privilege, a lot of privilege, really. Enter the fundy, the jerk. The jerk's name is Ron Webb. He is a member of the Shreveport City Council. He was the lone no vote against the resolution banning discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. And so they had a council meeting at which Ron Webb had introduced a motion to repeal the city council ordinance. And he stated clearly that he's against the non-discrimination law because, and this is a quote from him, "The Bible tells you homosexuals are an abomination." Again with the abominations. I bet he couldn't spell it on a dare. So the thing comes up for the repeal motion comes up. And citizens of Shreveport absolutely packed the city council chambers to have their say on this. Among those who appeared was a transgendered woman
named Pamela Raintree. And this is where we get to put one in the win column for our side. For tolerance. For decency. For basic valuation of humanity. When it came her time to stand up, Pamela Raintree approached the microphone and said directly to God-fearing, upstanding, Christian fundamentalist Ron Webb, she said, and this is a quote, Leviticus 20:13 states, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, they shall surely put him to death." I brought the first stone, Mr. Webb, and she held a big rock up in her hand. I brought the first stone, Mr. Webb, in case your Bible talk isn't just a smokescreen for personal prejudices. Man, it just eats them up when you hand them their own Bible right back to them. Because, you know, that there's that passage in the book of Mark, which wasn't originally in the book of Mark, but was added later, but it's a neat story, and it tells a pretty important lesson about the day that the city was getting ready to stone a woman to death for being hungry enough that she was willing to sell sex in order to continue to have food. And they were going to stone her to death, and Jesus comes walking up, and he looks around the crowd, and he says, "Let that person who is without sin cast the first stone." And all of a sudden, a rock comes hurtling up from the back of the crowd, and cronk, hits Jesus right in the head, and, you know, bloodies him, cut. You know how it is with a forehead wound when you get cut. You know, that's why you got the cut doctor in the corner in a boxing match. And, you know, the blood's running down his face. And he scans the crowd, and he looks at him, and he says, "Honestly, Mom, sometimes you really piss me off." No, that's not how it goes. No, the crowd decides, he says, "Let that person who is without sin cast the first stone." And all of a sudden, the people who were going to stone the poor woman to death for having been willing to have sex with other men in order to have money with which to buy food to eat, decide that maybe they'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it another day when that guy's not around. What a pain. Spoiling our fun. But that's in there, so she handed that right back to Mr. Webb to see if he would be willing to just go ahead and stone her to death right then and there. And here's the win. Just a few short, scant moments after being confronted with his own bigotry, his own filthy hypocrisy, Ron Webb withdrew his resolution and never even called for a vote on it. We win. Oh, yeah, okay. Devin pointing out, oh, he couldn't spell abomination? He couldn't? Yes, he could. He spells it O-B-A-M-A-N-A-T-I-O-N. Abomination. Damn right, Devin. Good one. Oh, John Fox just posted this over at headonradionetwork.com. We've got a new functionality there where you can post news stories directly to the website. And we're hoping to put it to really, really good use here soon. But John Fox just posted this. New commandment. Thou shalt not poison the water supply of 300,000 people. You know, that's probably a good one. And you could probably make a theological argument that the people who poisoned the water supply of 300,000 people in West Virginia We're probably violating several of those commandments at the right way. You know what? Maybe we need to write the Ten Commandments. That's the new law we need. Every chemical storage tank in West Virginia needs to have the Ten Commandments written on it. So the profiteering bastards who are filling them up with poisonous goo will remember that somebody's watching them. Because it ain't going to be the EPA, and it's damn sure not going to be the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. But God is. And you never know when one of those lightning bolts are going to just come right out. That's from Facebook, God is Awesome. The piece from John posted. Yeah, that's the... Oh, no, it's just God. It's not God is often. Awesome. It's just God. That's God's Facebook page. And the new commandment is right there. And here's another... And apparently God over on Facebook cranks out a lot of commandments. Here's a new one. Thou shalt not tag others in your stupid selfies. Oh, dear, that image is precious. Well, I'm not going to talk about a picture on Facebook because it's like, yeah, dancing about architecture. Nine past the hour. 304-658-3333 is the number if you want to jump into the conversation. Or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Or we can just we can just keep rolling. Now, you remember when the post-mortem was done on why the Republicans got so thoroughly stomped in so many instances in the last election cycle? Remember that part? Oh, well, there was a lot of talk about there out there about how the Republican men were finally going to learn how to talk to the women people. And how they were going to learn to talk to women people about things that women people think are actually important. It isn't working. It's not working at all. The evidence comes from Old Virginia, the Old Dominion. And in this case, it has to do with a fellow named State Senator Richard H. Dick Black. Thank you, God of irony. Thank you. Blessed be the goddess of irony in her comings and goings. State Senator Richard H. Dick Black is running for the spot being vacated by retiring Representative Frank Wolf in the House of Representatives. And the actual remark goes back to 2002, but there's certainly no evidence out there that he feels any differently, does State Senator Richard H. Dick Black. Over at Mother Jones, in a story published last week by Molly Redden, she writes, after taking a drubbing in last year's state elections, Virginia Republicans are debating whether their party has come to be defined by its extremists. Really? They're debating that? There's a question? But in a congressional district in Northern Virginia, one of the state's main instigators of culture warfare, State Senator Richard H. Dick Black, is running in the Republican primary to replace longtime GOP moderate Representative Frank Wolf, who's retiring. And he's guaranteed to ignite wedge issue passion. Exhibit A, as a state legislator, Black opposed making spousal rape a crime. Yeah, see, I have to stop and think about that for a minute, too. He opposed the Old Dominion, the Commonwealth. He opposed giving it the power to punish men who violate the rights, the bodies, the universes of women, and does so because marriage. Between one man and one woman. Right? Really. If he wins that election, this is going to... Louis Gohmert's going to have him some competition. He refers to emergency contraception, Richard H. Dick Black does, as baby pesticide. Tried to keep a statue of Abraham Lincoln from being sited at a former Confederate installation in Richmond. He's another one of those abortion is worse than slavery people. And then, going back to about 2002, he argued on the spousal rape issue, I do not know how you could validly get a conviction of a husband-wife rape when they're living together, sleeping in the same bed, she's in a nighty, and so forth. There's not injuries. There's no separation or anything. Because if she's in a nighty, it ain't rape. That's just some intense loving. No, he didn't say that part. That was one of those implied depictions. They don't get it. It ain't going to get any easier. It's not going to get any better. You see, that's where their heads are. Merciful goodness. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, Bob.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but did you know that smoking or drinking during pregnancy might turn your child gay?
What?
Yes. Some pseudoscientist somewhere has written a book, which I'm sure will be wildly popular, that says smoking or drinking will possibly turn your child
gay. It'll just gay your fetus right up.
That's right.
Well, it probably explains the... Never mind.
But see, he's got a problem. Because if that is the case, that there could be a definitive link between smoking, drinking, or drugs, turning your child gay, then gayness is not a choice. It's decided in the womb. And therefore... the teabaggers would have no cause for saying that gay people should be stoned. So, you know.
Because we know what hypocrites they are. Wouldn't that sort of instantaneously turn them into big fans of abortion?
I would think so. I would think that would be an unintended side effect of it also. But, you know.
If they had functioning brains, their heads would explode from the cognitive dissonance.
Right. But, of course, you're forgetting one fact. They care about the child as long as it's in the womb. Once it comes out of the womb and is living on its own, they could care less what happens to it. So, no, it probably wouldn't change their mind on abortion because, you know, they don't really care about anybody once they come out of the womb. So, but I just had gotten this email about 10 seconds ago, and I thought, gee, that's interesting. So, anyway, I didn't have much to call on. Shows you appeared on, I'm having a senior moment.
All in with Chris Hayes on Tuesday and Friday, and Melissa Harris Perry yesterday.
Do you by chance have them linked up to your site yet, or?
I think they may be. I think they're at the Horn site, but they are very definitely they've moved down a little bit, but they're all on they've all been posted on my Facebook page too.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't even bother with Facebook anymore. It's not accessible at all with my computer. Twitter's somewhat accessible, but Facebook just, I don't even bother because it's too much of a hassle. So, I've got a Facebook page, but I haven't even gone to that page in, God, a year probably because of that. So, and you would think, you know, for this net neutrality deal, that's one of the other things now. We made the ADA Act, Americans with Disability Act in 89. We're into 2013, and you think there would be something on the books requiring websites to be sort of accessible by now. But nope, unless it's a government website, there is no requirement at all that any site be accessible. A lot of them are, but that's by choice. And so that's why I'm not on Facebook.
Well, I can understand. There are a million very, very good reasons for not being on Facebook.
Yeah, but I still would like to be able to read. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just researching somebody. Suppose I wanted to look up. I'll use you for an example. Suppose I wanted to look up Bob Kincaid and see what kind of stuff he has posted on Facebook. Can't do it because of the hassle that's involved. It'll download the page, but it is nowhere near accessible. And half of the stuff that I read there, I can't even read. I guess it would be a good way of saying it. It's all code. And whereas Twitter, I can get by on Twitter. So that's why I do most of my stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see, I knew you were, was it Friday when you took off? Was that Bashir and then you were on?
No, Chris Hayes.
Oh, Chris Hayes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, Martin Bashir's, gone.
And then yesterday you were on her show, right?
Melissa Harris Perry's, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll look for those, but I just wanted to call in and mainly get a feel for what else is being done in West Virginia. I was stunned because I hadn't seen the comments until you told them on air today about Governor Earl Ray talking about the fact that you got a choice of whether or not you want to...
Yeah, if y'all want to drink the water, that's fine. If you don't want to drink it, that's fine, too. You can just get out of here and drink bottled water. What the hell?
Right, because then it's upon the individual person to pay for the bottled water, and how many people have got money to continually stock bottled water for not just drinking, but bathing and cooking.
I tell you what, Kevin, it's moments like this that I get real jealous of states that have referendum and recall.
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, you reminded me. Do you know if New Jersey, the state house and senate, had the right to impeach Christie?
I do not know that definitively. I can't imagine that there is not some sort of impeachment
mechanism inside the state constitution?
I couldn't either, but I haven't heard the word mentioned, and I really think.
Well, they haven't gotten to the point where there's something to impeach over, I guess.
Well, that mayor of Hoboken with her journal, that could be a real smoking gun, especially if she's done a really good job of documenting things with things besides her opinion. If she's kept papers and anything she's collected on that. And I think before that's done, that's going to be what gets Christie impeached, if they have the ability to do it. But it's just, you know, like you're saying, in West Virginia, you don't have the ability. You can't put anything on the ballot with a certain number of signatures?
Nope. The only people who can put something on the ballot are the elected legislators.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if we wanted a resolution in favor of babies being able to drink water out of the tap, we could not get that. We couldn't do it. It's not possible.
Wow. That's amazing. We wouldn't have legalized marijuana now.
No. Well, I mean, that's why this stuff is happening. It's a function of the westward growth of the United States, Kevin, because by the time the people who founded states like Wisconsin and Colorado and California and Washington got there, they had seen the rather obvious inherent flaws in the system as established in the older states east of the Mississippi. And so with that reliance on rugged individualism and whatnot, they wanted a government where people could, do some citizen democracy. And so, yes, you have referendum and recall, and I don't.
Wow, that's just amazing to me. Even with that westward expansion being said, with 200 years of history or thereabouts with West Virginia being a state and part of the Union, whether they were a state or not at some point, you don't have that. And I'm sure Governor Earl Ray and his friends are just fine with that.
Oh, fine as frog's hair, absolutely.
That's why you can make a statement like that without fear of...
The most we can hope for around here is to find somebody with some money and some guts to just print up a bunch of white background, black letter, sort of generic-looking bumper stickers that just say, "Impeach Earl Ray."
Yep. Wow.
But the coal industry would never let that happen.
No.
I don't... There. And let's be clear. In the West Virginia legislature, there's an itsy-bitsy, teensy-weensy, tiny, tiny, tiny little microscopic number of actual progressive people. I mean, like, four. And none of them would even have the guts to introduce a bill of impeachment. And I don't, you know, then again, I don't know what you'd impeach him. Let's be fair. I don't know what you'd impeach him on. You'd impeach him for being the pathetic human being with no concern for anything except his buddies in the coal industry. Well, hell, that would be, if that's grounds for impeachment, every governor that's ever run this state has been impeachable.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
The thing that I really do think has a little bit of legs and might stick is the fact that his administration, and let's be really, really clear about this, his administration, with the disaster underway, allowed West Virginia citizens to go unwarned and allowed West Virginia citizens to continue bathing in, drinking, consuming, cooking with, washing dishes with, etc., this water for something like, at the very minimum, 10 hours. But there are still those stories out there that say that people were smelling this stuff for days before it ever happened. They started out saying, well, it was 4,000 gallons. And then they said, no, actually it was 7,500 gallons.
They have no idea.
No, they don't have any idea. And they also, another thing is allowing them to give people, when they trucked in the water, supposedly clean water, and it turned out to be the same contaminated water. I don't think
right.
that was by accident. You know, that wasn't just somebody screwed up. That was done on purpose. You won't convince me otherwise. And then I'll be interested to see what happens with this company filing bankruptcy.
Well, the bankruptcy, Kevin, was something everybody knew was coming all along.
Oh, I know, but the
and you can the debtor in possession, you can argue that this J. Forrest Crawford character is trying to perpetrate a fraud upon the court. Now, whether he'll get away with it is another question entirely. He may. It's West Virginia, but it's federal bankruptcy court. He has he works at this place. He owns a bunch of mines, and it stinks to high heaven. But the reason for the bankruptcy is because when you file bankruptcy, and never having been terribly familiar with any of the bankruptcy chapters 11, 13, you know, they are all essentially socialized responses to financial crisis. You know, it's a part of, you know, the bankruptcy code is a part of the commons in a way. But what happens is automatically when you declare bankruptcy, unless it's changed, corporations get a stay of legal proceedings that had been initiated against them. And then the lawyers have to go and argue that there is some reason, there are some grounds for the judge, the bankruptcy judge, to lift the stay and allow the litigation to proceed.
Yep.
And so it just creates another hurdle for the lawyers, for the injured people, to have to jump, another hoop to jump through. While these guys, start burying the money in the backyard. But these guys are, you know, they still won't, to the best of my knowledge, they still haven't released what the insurance worth of the company was or what their policy limits were. But it is simply impossible to conceive that there would be enough coverage to even begin to compensate anybody for this.
No. Especially if 10 years from now you start seeing the cancer clusters start to crop up in the affected areas. And yes, there will be people that say, well, it's just, you know, other excuses for why the cancer clusters are popping up. You know, and that's, let's face it, if I had drank that contaminated water and I had any symptoms whatsoever, even if they were mild, I'm going to the hospital to document that. Just for the fact, not so much for a lawsuit, but 10 years from now, somebody could say, yeah, you know, this came from this incident. And, you know, it's just unbelievable that it's allowed to go on and that there's a certain segment of your population there that applauds the fact that there are no regulations whatsoever. And the one percenters, I get it, but someone trying to make ends meet on a coal miner's salary and that, and they got enough to deal with the coal mine and the dangers there, and then they're drinking contaminated water on top of it, and they're not upset with these people for contaminating their water and don't want any regulations on something like that. It just, you know, I don't get it. I never will. How anybody can think that regulations like that kill jobs. If anything, I would think they create jobs because you need
regulators.
Yeah, exactly. So,
or think about, for instance, there's this massive ancient coal-fired power plant nightmare down in the Kanawha Valley. It's called John Amos. And it was just a filthy pollution machine. And by virtue of federal government orders, it had to be retrofitted with scrubbers and things like that to try to take some of the filth out of the air. Well, this was a government job, and so it was let out under bid, and lo and behold, a lot of people, a considerable number of people, got really good, long-term, well-paying jobs doing that retrofit installation.
Yep. Yep.
But I guess that doesn't count as job creation. I mean, I think there are more people working in the wind and solar industries now than there are working in coal. So wouldn't that mean that the renewable energy industry is creating jobs?
Sure.
Just not the jobs that the plutocrats and so forth want.
Right.
Oh, by the way, entirely separate topic, but we were talking about this a little bit last night. Congratulations to you and to folks in the state of Washington. As Duncan noted last night, this is a message to all other states with NFL teams. If you want your team in the Super Bowl, you'd best legalize weed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard your comment on that earlier today, and I thought, well, maybe we got it all wrong here. Maybe that's God blessing us for legalizing pot, you know?
Yeah, to show what an old fogey I am, I suggested that the Doobie Brothers do the national anthem.
Do the halftime, yeah.
But Sandra corrected me and said, no, it should be Snoop Dogg Lion. Yeah.
Wow.
He's Snoop Lion.
Yeah, I prefer the Doobie Brothers, Sandra, sorry. But, yeah, I really laughed at that because the teabaggers are always, whenever a disaster happens, it's God's punishment on whatever state, for whatever reason, mostly gay marriage. But what do you call this? Denver and Seattle and the Super Bowl, the two states that just legalized pot. So,
unfortunately, they're going to have to play the game in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort that one out for me. Isn't that going to be a delight? I mean, what if we have one? You know, it does get cold in New Jersey from time to time, Kevin. What if the Super Bowl is played at, oh, I don't know, 10 below, 5 below, 0?
Well, then we can go back to that. Remember that Dallas?
Oh, the Ice Bowl?
Green Bay game?
Yeah.
65, 66? See, that'll become part of NFL lore, you know. You talking about you getting down to zero, that's because the polar vortex has moved again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funneling all that weather down your way.
Oh, we're supposed to get snow just dumped on us tonight.
Yeah. And so if this game were being played next Sunday instead of 2 weeks from now, it would be in zero conditions, no doubt. But 2 weeks.
What were they thinking? What was the NFL thinking?
I think it was because they had the new stadium there in New Jersey, and those people up there were pitching a fit because they always give a team with a new stadium the Super Bowl. And so I think that's why they did it in New York. But, hey, if I got a choice...
But this thing doesn't have a dome on it.
Right, yeah. I don't know why stadiums aren't built now without domes.
Well, personally, I don't like domes. I want the Packers to play on the frozen tundra of Lambeau. I want the Vikings, the purple Norsemen, playing outside in the Minnesota winter, because that's just football. And, again, I'm being a fogey. By the same token... I want the Dallas Cowboys to play under the blazing Texas sun. I want the Miami Dolphins playing in the humid semi-tropical paradise that is Miami.
But do you really want to watch a game when it's below zero? Do you want to be there in the stadium watching a game?
No.
Exactly. So if they could somehow create a situation where the fans were comfy, but given the fact that they can't do that without keeping the fans pretty far away from the field. You know, because if I got a choice between paying $500 for a Super Bowl ticket or watching it on TV, and it's in New York and it's below zero, I'll stay at home and watch it on the TV.
Yeah, it's like that. Not this past bowl season, but the one before that, last year, late 2012, West Virginia and Syracuse played in something called the Pinstripe Bowl, which was played at Yankee Stadium in late December.
Yep.
And it was ridiculous. There was nobody there. It was freezing cold. And why hasn't that game been moved to the Bahamas?
Yeah. Every year down in Tampa, the Outback Bowl is played on January 1st. It's not a big bowl, but you usually get good teams that accept bids down to the game, and it's always a filled stadium. Why? Because it's about 70 degrees in January down in Tampa, and people don't mind going to a game
right
on January 1st in 70 degree weather, you know? So, it'll be interesting because if the weather is, I'd say if the weather's no cooler than 32 degrees, you'll probably get a good draw of people. But if it's like zero outside, it would be really embarrassing for the NFL if the stadium ended up half full.
Well, Duncan just sent me a link of the early forecast for the Super Bowl, and that day is a high of 35 degrees Fahrenheit with a low of 19.
That's about what we average, and honestly, minus the humidity, it's not that bad out here.
Well, with the cold temperatures for which Colorado can be known, that would give an early edge to the Broncos, wouldn't it? Does any edge get dissipated by virtue of the fact that they're going from mile high altitude down to sea level?
No, that actually would still be an advantage because you played in that mile-high air, so the only disadvantage they would have would be the humidity. A couple years ago, Denver played Miami in Miami, first game of the season, and by the fourth quarter, the Broncos had nothing left because of the humidity.
Well, this early forecast says there is considerable cloudiness with a chance of precipitation in the form of snow.
Well, it beats rain at 35 degrees.
Oh, rain at 35 degrees sucketh mightily.
Exactly.
Hey, Kevin, I'm gonna roll here and try to get another call in before programs end, but it's awful good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Bob, and keep preaching the message.
Well, I'm going to try.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs, and we roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
And how are you?
Oh, I think I'm okay. Jim, how about you?
I guess preparing for whatever.
Because whatever's on its way, isn't it?
That's basically it. People say 1 to 6, all this kinds of stuff. I've told you about my prediction for snow, haven't I?
No, I don't. What? I'm not sure.
Oh, it's what I told my mailman who went next door and told this old lady who was just shocked to call me.
And that was?
Well, I just told Eddie, this was years ago, I said, you know, snow's like dick. You never know how many inches you're going to get or when it's going to come.
Well, there you go.
And so she called me up. She said, I heard your prediction. And I said,
that doesn't sound like a prediction.
That's what I told her.
That sounds more like, no offense, but that sounds a little more like empirical data.
That's exactly what I told her. I said, honey, that's the facts of life. And if you don't like it, you know, bye. But, you know, going back to, who is this guy you were talking about? Dick Black?
Yes, Richard H. Dick Black.
Now I know how Sean Connery felt in Goldfinger when he was on that plane en route for the United States. And Honor Blackman told him her name, Pussy Galore, and Sean Connery's response was, you must be joking. Dick Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had two Dicks in the program tonight. Dick Black and Dick Cash. Which sounds like something you take to a bathhouse.
Well, I don't know what kind of bathhouse you take that to. I mean, you know, maybe if Bette Miller were a thing, she did the old Continental, that'd be fine with me. I mean, you know, God. But Dick Black.
Yes, who doesn't believe it's possible for a husband to actually rape his spouse.
So basically, if you subscribe to either Fredericks of Hollywood or Livy Saucier or what's the other, House of Lingerie, that makes it all right, like a, what do they call it, a bundling board?
I don't even want to know about the 39th century BCE world in which Dick Black lives.
Well, the name.
I mean, they're sleeping together. They're in the same room. She's wearing a nightie. How's he supposed to not rape her?
Can you imagine the shit that guy had to take coming through school with a name like Dick Black or Dick whatever? Can you imagine? I'm sure those kids in his development must have had a field day with that.
Well, it sounds like a shoe polish. You know, Boot Black.
Well, I'm sure they probably reversed the order of the name. So nonetheless, I mean, this poor creature, if he's saying all this stuff.
Yeah, right. If they did it military style and called roll with last name first.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, that is his full name, Dick Black. Right?
Richard H. Dick Black.
Okay, and so you got it on both ends. You got either Dick or you got, well, whatever. I'm not oh, shit. So what is the prediction your way?
We were here, 1-4.
1-4.
Yeah, I think Beckley proper is actually at somewhat higher elevation than I am here. Because if I drive up to our local grocery store, which is 6 miles away, and elevation increases, we can get an inch of snow on the ground here, and there can be 4 inches on the ground up there. I mean, it's yeah. Profound.
Oh, well, you know, in younger days, I'd be glad to hear that prediction, but nonetheless, who won't go into that? But, you know, it's just incredible some of the stuff these people say. It never ceases to amaze me.
Oh, and there's more. I mean, there's more out there. I've got a story here that Texas T sent along of the North Carolina child who was of African-American heritage, who was presented a Confederate Army hat as a prize.
How wonderful.
Little fellow's 9 years old and came home just all smiles wearing his Confederate Army cap that he won at school as a reward for, I guess, you know, being a good kid or something.
Well, you know, who's to say for whatever one considers...
What's the name of those billed caps from the... Kepi. It's a Kepi, isn't it?
You mean the French?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kepi. Kepi. And
his mama said, I did not want to believe that the school actually let him walk around as an African-American child with a Confederate cap on. This is a dark time in our history.
Oh, well... As I said before, who can say anything accounting for taste? But nonetheless, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the only thing I have to say to anybody about that is, my name is Mr. Tibbs. And I think that speaks volumes.
It does.
That's a great film.
In the Heat of the Night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they call me Mr. Tibbs.
Right. They call me Mr. Tibbs. And also on TCM is Louis of the Field, which is another great thing he did.
Well, like I said, I look forward to living to see the day when this national holiday, which needed badly to be a national holiday, is simply celebrated and does not just turn some significant portion of the populace of this country into idiots. Because the stupid Jim really does come out in full toxic blossom this time every year.
Oh, there are a number of people who don't like it at all. No, they don't. They can't understand it. And, you know, if they can celebrate Columbus Day, who did what he did to the Amerindians, I mean, good Lord in heaven, I think you can definitely honor Dr. King and what he was trying to preach. You know, in my opinion. Maybe I'm just stupid, but that's the way I feel about it. You know?
Yeah.
That's just about it. But anyway, like I say, Dick Black, that's got to be a new one. I can't see that one on the ballot. I mean, that's I tuned in late when I heard you talk about Dick Black, and I said, what the hell is he going on about? He must be on something tonight.
I'm not on anything but the radio, Jim.
I see. Well, anyway, let me get off here and let somebody else talk. But I found that name quite remarkable.
I'm glad we were able to create a little ray of sunshine in your evening tonight, Jim.
And like I say, my name is Mr. Tibbs.
Here. Take care, Jim.
Out here.
Bye now. I don't make the names up. You know, you couldn't get away with it if you tried. Devin pointing out, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was pro-choice. Yeah, try explaining that to his niece, I think it is, who runs that anti-choice hustle. Oy. So, speaking of, okay, so we got the little kid who comes home in a Confederate hat in North Carolina stand. Let's go across the country to Arizona stand, where a kindergarten teacher named Thomas Washburn, you know, he's got his little charges there. In their first or maybe second year of organized education. And you're trying to teach them how to behave in a given circumstance. And it takes a very, very special kind of human being to be a kindergarten teacher. In the kindergarten where Thomas Washburn teaches, at Adams Elementary School, one of his students was developmentally delayed, and even regardless of that, children can, under any circumstance, can be intimidated by the classroom process, because it's the first time that they've been away from their parents and in a large group for the most part in their lives, in many instances. Well, this child began to be anxious, distressed, and by the children filing into the room. And as a manifestation of this anxiety, she pulled the neck of her shirt up to where it would cover up her face. That's when Thomas Washburn began repeatedly telling her to take her face out of her shirt. But she wouldn't. So that is when Thomas Washburn walked over and took this little 6-year-old girl's shirt off of her and had her sitting there shirtless and made her sit in front of her classmates unclothed from the waist up for about 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, she began to cry. And that's when Thomas Washburn gave her shirt back to her. And that's when Thomas Washburn, once her parents had arrived, told the parents what he had done. The mama got hold of the principal, and the principal then called the police. He is now facing 26 counts of indecent exposure and one count of child abuse. The indecent exposure counts are related to the fact that the exposure was done to all of the other children in the classroom. Here's how the Mesa Public School District handled it. Thomas Washburn has been placed on paid administrative leave and is assigned to home. The district will use the police findings as the basis for any future employment action against Washburn. Our first priority is the safety and security of our students. Mesa Police Department is leading the investigation, and we are working cooperatively with them. Once again, we see a case where our bizarre misperceptions of gender and sexuality have intruded into a situation that should never have been sexualized in the first place. What this teacher did was arguably worse than indecent exposure. He deprived this little girl of her essential human dignity. And for that, I don't know what kind of appropriate punishment one could come up with. Jeebus. That's part of a larger discussion than we've got time for, though. Poor little thing. I applaud Mama, because Mama apparently kept her wits about her, told the principal. Principal called the cops. I'm surprised Mama didn't. No, nothing surprises me in this country anymore. People get shot for texting in movie theaters in this country. Oh well. Thanks to Henry for joining in with the fundraising this evening. Thank you very kindly. We will be back, all of us, I hope, for this conversation ongoing tomorrow. And a reminder, Dr. Bill will go at his regular time, 4 p.m. Eastern, tomorrow. But there will be no Dr. Bill program on Wednesday, as I will be on the road, unless I'm not. In which case, I'll let you know. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. First of all, every one of you who share your time, your precious, finite, unrecoverable time to take part in this conversation, however you do it, merely by listening sometimes, by email, Facebook, Twitter, phone call, chat room, Skype, thank you. Thank you for the kind contributions that keep this all going. Thank you for meeting Roberts up over Down Under Challenge this evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox, and especially for the new update to the headonradionetwork.com website. It looks really good. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT.org, ACHECT.org. I'm hoping we will build a much larger groundswell of support for the ACHE Act in coming days, weeks, and months. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.